really responsible for vaccine hesitancy? Here's a hint. It sure as heck isn't Donald Trump. President Biden loses again. This time, the UN head honcho throws apartheid Joe under the bus. Remember when Dr. Fauci told us we could never do this again? Gank. Little man was wrong again. But now he says, grandma must show her vaccine passport before she can come over for Christmas dinner this year. Elon Musk has had enough, and now he's sounding more Catholic than the Pope, too. All that more tonight from the Remnant Underground.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Matt, and this is the Remnant Underground. A major oversight on the part of your host in our last show on Reclaiming Christmas. I told you more or less, you know, how the old Christian Christmas observance works, the baby Jesus and midnight mass and Advent. And then I forgot to cover the gift-giving part of the whole thing. I'm not a Calvinist, and yes, the baby Jesus absolutely brings presents, the greatest presents in the world, to deserving children on Christmas, so long as Advent had been observed properly. I really can't believe I did that. I'm sorry for scaring everyone that we don't have any presents on Christmas and we don't believe in that. You're speaking off the cuff a little bit on this show, and sometimes you just kind of overlook some things. So a couple of you also, they didn't take us to task, but they felt that we were a little cavalier about COVID, I guess, in the last show. Friends, we've been doing this for a long time. This covering the COVID thing for a couple of years. And so we started almost 2 years ago telling everybody, yeah, we believe in COVID. I mean, sure, it's a problem. And you kind of figure people are, they're aware of your position. But as we've been saying, we've been picking up a lot of new viewers. So many of you apparently didn't realize my full position on COVID. And I noticed there are conflicting conspiracy theories because the same people who sometimes get really upset with us for saying that COVID exists, also turn around and say that COVID is a bioweapon. Which is it? which is it? So no, from our position, I'll just be really clear and hopefully very brief. We have never dismissed COVID. My whole family got COVID back in October. Wasn't fun, you know. It was a stressful time. It wasn't easy. So my friends, I get it. I absolutely get it. But here's the point. Here's where we need to all come together on this so we have a cogent response to what's going on and to how COVID is being used to really harm the entire world, to reset the entire world. The thing is being used. And in order for it to be used, it has to be real. It's doing some damage. It's making some people sick. Its variants now are even taking some people out. The Omicron thing, obviously the wheels are coming off that. That's a great example of how they're so eager to hop on the next thing that's COVID related, to prolong this thing and to keep us afraid. And that has been our target all along. That and force vaccinations and things like this, which are absolutely unconstitutional and immoral and perverse. So the point is, friends, that even if some people that we know and love, even if they have to die, the exploitation of COVID and the lockdowns and the masking up of kids and everything else they're doing is sick and it's twisted and it's harming many more people, especially young people. Got studies coming out right now what this is doing to kids. We don't even know the half of what this is doing to children. Here's a little sample.
Three pages detail a list of devastating mental health effects linked to the pandemic and other challenges experienced by the younger generation.
We've had rates of suicide increase among our children. And for many kids during the pandemic, feelings of anxiety and depression worsen, and loneliness as well.
So you see, this is the problem, friends. This is what we're talking about. This has got to stop. Now, we're not dismissing the suffering that comes with this bioweapon, if that's what it is. But we're 2 years in now. And if your mother or your father or a friend has passed due to COVID, I'm sorry, I truly am. But we cannot allow them to turn our country into Australia just because you know somebody who died of COVID. You know, that's just kind of the way it is. And you know the reality of this. For every one person who's lost their life to COVID, we all know hundreds, if not thousands, who have recovered from it. You see? And praise God for that. So it's time, as we've been saying for a long, long time, It's time to start living again. Many of the dire predictions they made never came true. Remember the prediction, Fauci? You'll never shake hands again.
The other one is, you don't ever shake anybody's hands. That's clear. I don't think we ever should ever shake hands ever again, to be honest with you.
But wait, there's more.
Let's take the holiday setting. You're with your family. You have grandparents and parents and children. When you get vaccinated and you have a vaccinated group and you are in an indoor setting, you can enjoy, as we have traditionally over the years, dinners and gatherings within the home with people who are vaccinated. And that's the reason why people should, if they invite people over their home, essentially ask and maybe require that people show evidence that they are vaccinated.
In many ways, a lot of it is starting to come apart because they pushed us too far, friends.
People who feel as if, you know, there may be some personal rewards for getting vaccinated, but they still face all these restrictions and measures.
Well, yes, that is just the reality of the situation.
Good one.
Honestly, I know I'm not alone in this audience. I am far more terrified about what the psychopaths who are exploiting COVID, what they got in mind for our future, than I am about catching COVID myself, you know? And if I die of COVID, it's okay. I wouldn't change my position one iota. Don't change. Don't rob your children of a future because I, an old guy, might die of COVID down the line. It's crazy talk, and we need to stop it. When you think of all the people suffering from cancer right now, or Alzheimer's, or heart disease, depression, all these lethal diseases, and we're now sinking trillions of dollars into COVID with its 99.5% recovery rate, friends, this is disgusting. It should just make you nauseous. What are they doing as part of this great global social experiment? You know, they're exploiting COVID. These boomers freaking out the whole world over COVID for staying safe and then using baby parts on some part, some way along the line, using aborted babies to help us all stay safe and protected from COVID. This, again, is disgusting. And then added to that, everything else that's going along with it. You know, Joe Biden out there right now trying to terminate the jobs of hundreds of thousands of people just because they're a little bit hesitant about a warp-speeded vaccine? What has happened to us? We're talking about the best cops, the best nurses, the best doctors, now thousands of U.S. Marines, the ones that are using their heads going, hang on a second. You're going to force me to get this jab? Before we know what's going to happen to me? And you know what the question is? I know some of, I guess we're still going to be on YouTube. Well, whatever, if YouTube takes us down. One of the things that really bothers me about this, I mean, we can all agree on this, is what we're not seeing with respect to those people who are vaccine hesitant. And that is, where's the outreach for them? Where's the compassion, friends? They're just scared. Let's say that there's absolutely no danger whatsoever with the vaccines. It's perfect. There's no abortion tainting. It's a miracle. It's a miracle vax. Why aren't we slowly and carefully explaining to them that it's okay? It's okay. You're going to be fine, right? Instead, from the commander in chief and the Pope all on down, guess what we get? Get vaccinated! Get vaccinated now! What is this? No wonder people are hesitant when they're being bossed around like by what appears to be a bunch of Nazis. Yeah, they're afraid of a rush vaccine. Maybe they're just a bunch of poor rubes, but that's what it is. They're afraid of it. They're afraid of it. And don't forget who initially terrorized them. It wasn't the Republicans. The Donald warp speed the thing, remember? It was the Democrats who were freaking this nation out over the same vaccines.
I think it's going to be a very skeptical American public about taking the vaccine, and they should be.
We can't trust the president and take his word and take a vaccine that might cause
harm to us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay.
Is the vaccine safe? Frankly, I'm not going to trust the federal government's opinion. And I wouldn't recommend to New Yorkers based on the federal government.
We cannot take for granted this process will be free of political influence.
You're going to say to the American people now, here's a vaccine. It was new. It was done quickly. But trust this federal administration and their health administration that it's safe.
I will say that I would not trust Donald Trump.
Hey, how confident are you in the approval process of the FDA right now?
How confident am I? I'm not that confident.
Yes, I would be hesitant, but I'm going to ask a lot of questions.
You're going to need someone other than this FDA and this CDC saying it's safe.
So if you're losing your patience with it all, you're not alone. I lost mine a long time ago. I'm losing my patience every day, just a little bit more. Patience with the lunatics of Davos. The lunatics of Davos. That's kind of catching on, I think. I see that more and more. They are lunatics. I lose my patience with, gee, let's see. The stooges in the episcopacy.
Well, thank you. I want to thank the media for coming to be a part of this today, and also to thank our nurse, Sheree, for the wonderful way in which you've injected us with this vaccine.
What you talking about, Willis?
Patients gone with them. I lose my patience with His Holiness, Pope Francis. Yes, I've lost my patience with him. I have a little Twitter war going. It's one-sided with...
Oh, yeah, you troll him on Twitter.
I do troll him a little bit. Now, here's the thing, friends. Some people, I think, are getting, you know, they're thinking that maybe I'm getting a little irreverent. I do not believe for one second that this 84-year-old pontiff is writing his own tweets. Do you? Have you read these things? If you're not following Francis and you have the stomach for it, I would suggest you follow him on Twitter. This is not the Pope. We do not owe any obedience, respect, or anything else to the character on Twitter who claims to be Pontifex. Francis, he's always pushing the equity thing. You know, it's Christmas time, but let's see if we can't find a way to be nicer to poor people on Christmas time. That idea that we're all beating up on the poor people, that's not actually happening. I feel like saying this to Francis, everybody is pretty good to the poor people. We're all giving our money to the Salvation Army guys and the poor people at Christmas, and we get this. What you're doing, Pontifex, whoever you actually are on Twitter, you're just trotting out communist Marxist talking points that are setting up for the reset. We know it. So yes, I lose patience a little bit with that. Maybe I should apologize for that too. I don't know. But when it comes to Francis, I'm at the end of my rope. Aren't you? Whatever this thing is, this Francis brand, whatever it is, he's siding with the Neo-Stalins now, with the Neo-Hitlers, with the Neo-Maos out in the world right now. You know, the folks who want to take over the whole dang world. These are the guys that closed down our churches, are promising to do it again because of Omicron. They cut off our supply chain for groceries. That's where it's come now. They're destroying our economy. And guess who's right with them? Francis. Francis. Blessing, giving his a blessing and approval to all of it. And now he's in a way you're being harsh. No, they're very clear. Francis said he's going to change it when he got started. He's going to change the church permanently so it could never be changed back. That's exactly what he's doing. And now, according to this German bishop, Heiner Wilmer, I guess his name is, he's head of the Northern German Diocese of Hildesheim. He reportedly, he's very close to the Pope, and he's reporting that Francis is going to turn the church on its head. Speaking to 200 representatives of religious, social, and political groups at an annual reception of some sort in Hanover, Wilmer said the Catholic Church would no longer be able to play a dominant role in society and because it really must rediscover its biblical roots. You see how they work? Oh, like the Catholic Church forgot its biblical roots all of a sudden. We need Francis to teach us how to be a Protestant and get our biblical roots in order. This character, Vilmer, says, quote, "The church as an institution will shrink and just be one voice among many, offering to explain the sense of life on earth, and it will be ecumenical." To which I say, oh, goody, more ecumenism, because that's worked out pretty well so far. You got this guy, this patriarch, screaming, Francis is a heretic. Do we have the clip for that?
Papa! Papa! Papa!
So when Bishop Vilmer opened the diocesan phase of the synodal process on October 23rd, he told Catholics in Hildesheim that the Pope wants to, quote, turn the church on its head. He also said he and the Pope think that a new view of sexuality is called for, and we must think again about the role of the priesthood. We need gender-just participation in the church, says Bishop Vilmer. So I hope you see what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm not a theologian. I don't know what this portends. I don't know what God's going to do. God's going to straighten the church out at some point. But for me to say, well, I just must be a good boy and obey and pray because he's the Pope, I don't make any sense anymore. It really doesn't. God help me. How can we do anything other than spend every waking moment, in fact, trying to undermine the evil agenda of these globalists, all of these globalists, including their would-be chaplain of the New World Order, Francis of Rome. I really, truly, friends, truly I am. I'm sorry. We've been in the trenches for a long time. I mean, we're kind of jaded old war horses. I don't mean to scandalize you. If you're new to this, I'm sorry. We're trying to catch everybody up as we go along. I don't mean to scandalize you or anyone else. We tried for so long with Francis. Remember when we used to take so much heat because I insisted on calling him Your Holiness? I still try to because of the office. I pray for Francis with my children every single night, but I'm at the end of my rope now. I don't see any other option but to resist him to his face from now until he's gone or until I'm gone. Because this is a matter of life and death, of the soul and of the body. Now, get vaccinated, says Francis. You see? No concern about what the possible injuries might be from that. No, Francis doesn't care. And look what they're doing to the Australians.
Today, the free people of Israel stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters from Australia in front of the Australian Embassy in Tel Aviv. In Australia, the police are supposed to be part of the public service. Instead, they have turned into a violent instrument of public oppression, including jailing people.
And the question is, where is Francis's compassion? Where is his historic compassion for the Australians who are going through hell on earth right now? Again, even if you think the vaxxers are great, there are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Australians who are afraid. Where is the compassion for these people? Well, they're locked down right now. They've been locked down for what, almost 2 years? And the Pope of Mercy is just so compassionate. He can't spare a single word, or even for the Catholics in Australia? Doesn't that kind of give things away just a little bit? You know? He's not concerned at all about people who think there's these vaccines are abortion tainted. He doesn't want to come out and issue a motu proprio on why they're not abortion tainted. Give us all some peace of mind. Remove the vaccine hesitancy amongst his own flock. No. Get vaccinated! That's Francis. Friends, we need to wake up. And here's the thing. Because of the desperation that you hear when you're ordered to get vaccinated, what does that mean? They've failed to persuade. Millions of people are not buying this. They have not been persuaded. They're not afraid of COVID to that degree. You see what I'm saying? So what's the end? What's the takeaway? The takeaway is that we have every reason in the world, friends, to believe and to have confidence that this time around, resistance is not futile. Whereas I know I like Orwell as much as anybody else, and this might be the apocalypse. I don't know if it is or it isn't. And I know that there are times when resistance is futile. This is not one of them. These people are falling apart. The wheels are coming off their thing. Now remember, Remember, they're not a bunch of bloggers trying to make it in the world. These are the movers and the shakers of the world. They have billions of dollars. They run countries. They have more power than anybody else on the face of the earth. And they still can't get their agenda done. You see the level of their failure, the desperation. Omicron! Desperation coming into this now. Good people are fighting back, and we need to encourage them to fight back. Every single one of them. Every cop, every nurse, everybody who'd rather be fired than go along with this Nazi agenda, we stand with them. We must stand with them. Why? Because resistance is not futile, obviously. Biden's mandate keeps losing in court after court. Praise God for guys like this.
The case that we joined in Georgia, which is one of the three cases that we're involved in on the Biden vaccine mandates, has ruled our way. There is no Biden vaccine mandate on federal contractors as of right now in South Carolina. There's no federal Biden vaccine mandates anywhere in South Carolina right now.
President Fauci and his little ventriloquist doll over there in the Oval Office. This week, they even managed to infuriate the Secretary General of the United Nations.
What is unacceptable is to have one part of the world that is one of the most vulnerable parts of the world economy condemned to a lockout when they were the ones that revealed the existence of a new variant that, by the way, already existed in other parts of the world, including in Europe, as we know. So this is a very strong appeal that I launch, appeal to common sense. We have the instruments to have safe travel. Let's use those instruments to avoid this kind of, allow me to say, travel apartheid, which I think is unacceptable.
This is huge. I can't believe this is not getting more news coverage. I mean, this guy, Gutierrez, he's been a cheerleader for the Great Reset from the beginning. He's in our Davos video that has 20 million views somewhere out there. He's always been behind the Great Reset from the beginning. Now even he's calling, look at Biden, he's calling his travel ban against countries. And he's calling it travel apartheid. Did you hear that part at the end there? Do you realize what he's saying here? Anybody who lived through the 80s, through apartheid in South Africa, we know darn well what he's saying. Essentially, he's calling that idiotic old fool Joe Biden a racist. Them's fighting words coming from the guy who runs the United Nations. Wouldn't you say? In other words, friends, don't let them fool you. The Great Reset is hitting a wall. Praise God. Been working on this for 2 years. Lots of people have been working on it for 2 years. It's hitting a wall. Thanks to all the hard work men and women all over this planet have been putting in to defeat these nutballs. And now, even futurists, such as the ever odd Elon Musk, is out there tipping the most sacred cow Bill Gates owns, overpopulation.
If you look at the birth rate trends, the birth rate trends are very negative, and in many countries are seeing population decline with no end in sight. I think the very low birth rate, I think, is actually quite a significant risk, but an underappreciated one. And for population prediction, I would recommend taking things like the number of babies born last year and just multiplying that by the probable lifespan. If you do that, you'll see numbers that are very, very bad for future population. And with an inverted demographic pyramid. So you've got a lot more older people and then fewer middle-aged people and then eventually just very few youngsters. I'm quite worried about that one because I see no reversal of the trend. You know, that would, you know, civilization will die with a bang or a whimper. That would be dying with a whimper.
I know. Elon Musk is no friend of ours. I get it. But that's what makes this so beautiful. That's what makes it so damaging to the Great Reset crowd. This is part of what we called months ago the Bill Maher effect, of course. People all around the world, cool people, chic people, people in powerful positions, in media and everywhere else, are waking up. So the best and the brightest on the left are refusing to go down with the octogenarians of the Great Reset. Octogenarians, well, in most of the time, George Soros, the brains behind the operation, is a whopping 92 years young this year. 92, George Soros. He's farting dust. Pope Francis, 84 years old. Klaus Schwab, 83 years old. Tony Fauci, 81 years old. Nancy Pelosi, 81 years old. Biden, 139 years old, right? Somewhere in there. 140. I don't know what he is. So, yes, obviously, guys like Elon Musk are going, okay, guys, Gramps, this is getting a little stupid, and I'm out. This is great news for us. Like, it's just as it's stupid, you know, that this old hippie in Rome right now on the Catholic side of the aisle, he's going to shut down the Ecclesia Dei orders of traditional Catholic priests. It's stupid to say we should go along with that, too. That papal octogenarian making a first-class fool of himself, trying to crush the Latin Mass because he's so afraid that it's going to turn into something much bigger than he can handle. You see? I'm going to go along with it. I say we plan now, friends. Again, really, what can we do? You know, wrap this show up. What can we do? We plan right now on how it is exactly that we are going to stand with our priests, our good priests, who are not going to go along with the nonsense going on in Rome, with the final solution that Francis has got in mind where the Latin Mass is concerned. I say we find ways and means of standing with the good cops that we just mentioned, the good nurses, the doctors, and all the other folks who are out there right now being heroes, being absolute heroes, losing their jobs right now because they're following their consciences and they're doing the right things. We stand with them. People say, no, man, what's the point of standing with them? What's the point of doing anything? It's the end of the world, man. You don't have faith. You just got to pray and just put up with it. It's the end of the world. Read your revelation. Look, friends, we don't know that. The world ends for each and every one of us when we die. So what is the point of becoming fixated on the end of the world? Maybe it is, maybe it ain't. We don't know. We have to fight like it's not, though, because that is our duty as soldiers of Jesus Christ. I am not going to put a tin hat on and climb underneath my cot and just say my prayers while these animals are destroying our country and ruining our children, poisoning people right now. I'm not going to sit there and hide out because it's the end of the world. I get it. Yeah, it's really bad. It's bad like nothing we've ever seen. I get it. This guy Francis is out there right now trying to replace the universal church of Jesus Christ with a globalist church of Pachamama and climate change. I get it. There's never been anything like this. But we don't have to go along with this. In fact, we can't go along with this. We have work to do. We have serious work to do. We need to stick together on this. That's what the Unite the Clans thing is all about. We got work to do. There is no defending the indefensible going on in the Vatican, going on in D.C., going on in the United States. There's no defending it. And in terms of what's happening in the Catholic Church, I'm perfectly content to let God sort Francis out. But God help me, I'm not going along with his plan to wreck what's left of the church. St. Robert Bellarmine is clear. He says, quote, just as it is licit to resist a pontiff who attacks the body, so also is it licit to resist the pontiff who attacks souls or destroys the civil order or, above all, tries to destroy the church. I say, says Bellarmine, that it is licit to resist him by not doing what he orders and by impeding the execution of his will. Guess what? I'm with Robert Bellarmine on this one. It's exactly what Francis is doing, and I don't care about the whole debate. Is he the Pope? Is he? I don't know. All I know is that I got to resist him until God intervenes. One must resist the Pope who openly destroys the church, says St. Cajetan. Guess what? I'm with Cajetan, too, all the way. And in the meantime, friends, I'm so tired, aren't you? I'm so tired of playing the part of the weak, helpless, whimpering little underdog who just is so helpless, so alone. We're not alone, friends. We're not helpless. Here at Remnant TV, for example, we're not despairing. I'm not giving up. Not even close. I'm not peddling panic porn. I'm peddling victory. It's right around the corner. Stay up for it. I actually believe we can win this thing, and I'm asking you week in and week out to join me. Or if you got something going, I want to join your deal, as long as we're going to go to war together. Let's pledge that it's time that we become those 10 just men of Sodom that we talked about a while ago. Those 10 just men, just 10, for whom God promised he'd save the city, and who I firmly believe God will save the world for 10 just men. We stand with those men. We unite with those men. And if needs be, we become those 10 just men, shouting from the housetops, shouting from the trenches, shouting from the walls of the church that this revolution has failed because we're still here and we're on God's side. They have not convinced us. They have not driven the faith out of us. They have not persuaded us that God doesn't exist. If the globalists out here, these nut jobs, I mean, if they want a war, bring it on. Let's give them one. Because guess what? They are the underdogs, not us. They have no God but themselves. The only sacraments they have, abortion and gay marriage. You know what that guarantees? No future for them. They have nothing. They have no tomorrow. Nothing beyond themselves. And we, on the other hand, have everything. Everything that matters. God, family, country, all the things worth fighting for, all the things worth dying for. We just got to stay up for it, friends. Don't get discouraged. Don't let people tell you it's the end of the world. If it is, say your prayers anyway and save your soul. That's the whole point. Now, if this strategy appeals to you and you want to give us a hand here at Remnant TV, welcome aboard. Click the link below and help us out. Give the Remnant as a Christmas gift or something. I know I'm supposed to make a plug for that, and I'll do that. That's fine, but that's not the point. You want to make my Christmas agree to not surrender. You want to make my Christmas spread the Unite the Clans message as far and as wide as it possibly can, friends. This is a key moment right now. We need to come together. Yes, we need to pray, and then we need to fight. And we need to be able to count on each other in this new year. Not to give up, not to surrender, not to, quite frankly, wimp out. I know you won't. So let's do that. Let's resolve to do that this Christmas, this New Year's. Stay together, unite the clans, fight like hell, and unite under the banner of Christ the King. I'm Michael Matt. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.